Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy.
I am really excited to be here with you guys today, and we're wrapping up our focus series. I've loved this series. It's so good. And as I was praying about today, I remembered something that my dad would always say to me when I was going out on a date, or if I was going to hang out with some friends, or even when I went off to college. And he would say, "Lydia, remember whose you are. Remember who you are and whose you are," is what he would say. And I, at the time, you know, I was like, "Okay, Dad," you know, I thought it was a little cheesy, but it did help me to focus, and I believe it's going to help us to focus today too. So if you know who you are and you know whose you are, then it's a lot harder to get distracted by those lies and those false lights that Mr. Lieberger talked about last week. If you're looking at the true light, then that little light that eventually is attached to those teeth, like that Finding Nemo clip that I thought that was such a good clip. I was like, whoa. But you're not going to be lured in by that because you're looking at the true light. And so these other lights are not going to look so attractive. So first, we're going to be talking about who you are. And we've spent a lot of time this year talking about choosing light. And we're going to continue in that vein. We've been talking about how we're the light of the world. And we are. And when that verse says that you are the light of the world, it's the you that it's referring to is not you individually. It's referring to us as a whole. We are the light of the world together. So today I'm believing that God's going to show us more about who we are as the body of Christ together. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that you're here in this room, Lord, that you're ready to meet with us. I thank you that you have your hand on each person in this room and that you have something for each of us. Let our hearts be open to what you have today in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few months ago, I was going to be leading worship at a church, and I was praying in my basement just before that time. And it was during this prayer that God just showed me this picture that I wanted to share with you this morning, and I'll do my best to paint it for you, because he showed it to me in an instant, and yet there was so much to it that it's kind of hard to explain. But basically, I saw all these little piano pieces walking around in this little city. They were each little pieces, so like there was white keys, and there was black keys, and there was a little thin, long strings, and there was thick strings, and there was pedals, and there was little pins, and they were all these little pieces forming this city, and they were all extremely busy, and they were all looking around. They all had their own little jobs and stuff, and yet so disconnected. The white strings were kind of like formulating little groups. I'm sorry, the white keys and the black keys were formulating their little groups, and I saw the thick strings making fun of the thin strings because they were weak and they weren't as strong as the thick strings. And then even like the pedals, like there's these shiny big brass pedals, and the keys were very jealous of the shininess because they were so pretty. But the pedals themselves were super insecure because they were so much bigger. And it was just this absolute ridiculous display that I'm seeing, because from my bird's eye view, it was obvious that they were all part of the same instrument. That each one was made to fit together with the others, and that they were different for a very particular reason, and that they needed each other. From their view, they didn't see it. They were caught up in this comparison. They were searching for this purpose and this destiny that they would only ever find if they worked together. And it reminded me of this verse in the Bible I'm sure y'all have heard before. It's 1 Corinthians 12:12. And it says, "The body is a unit," talking about the body of Christ. "Though it's made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." And I'm going to skip down to 14. It says, "In fact, The human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, well, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still a vital part of the body. You don't have to even know that you're part of the body to be part of the body. And if an ear were to say, well, since I'm not an eye, I'm not really part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still an important part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. And I love this part, 19, it says, a diversity is required. It's required. For if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but one body. And one more verse, or two more verses, it starts in 25, I want to skip down. It says, he has done this, talking about God, he's done this intentionally. So that every, you know, he could have made us all the same. He didn't. So that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so that there would be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. And if one suffers, everyone suffers. And if one is honored, everyone rejoices. Whew, it's such a beautiful picture of what we're supposed to be. Could you imagine what that would look like if we stopped comparing and judging each other? If we realized that we were all unique and specific pieces wired in specific and unique ways, and that we all were necessary. You know, a piano key is not gonna be doing much without being connected to a string. And if that string isn't connected to a tuning pin, it's gonna be out of tune and it's not gonna sound so good. We need each other. In the same way that it would be ridiculous for a piano pedal to look at a key and compare itself to that, we were never made to compare ourselves to each other. We were never made for us versus them. Never. It is so prominent right now, and yet that is the opposite of how God designed and made us. We were actually made to complement each other. And I don't mean like tell each other that you look pretty. I mean complement in design. I mean fit together. That's how we were made. In that vision of the piano, I saw all of the pieces come together and form the piano. I saw it and it was beautiful and it was incredible and it was like just so obvious. Of course, you guys, our piano pieces come together, work together. And I was so overwhelmed by the whole thing. I was like, God, show me more. And immediately, it's like this picture that I was looking at, this piano, it zoomed out, and this piano was now just this piece in a huge orchestra. And so there was all these different instruments that made up the biggest orchestra. I don't think an orchestra that I saw has ever even been compiled before. It was quite large. And there was all the different sections, the string sections, the trumpet sections, the percussion sections. And each instrument was made up of all the little pieces. You could have taken any of one of those instruments and broken it up into little pieces that all had to come together to make that instrument. And then all those instruments were all part of sections. And I thought that I was done with the jealousy and comparison and all that, and yet I found it in this scenario as well. There was the flute section people thought was annoying and shrill, and the string section was looking at the brass section and thinking, well, you guys are too like loud and bold and brazen, and I was like, whoa, like what's going on here, God? What are you showing me? And he's showing me the body of Christ, and he's showing me the church, and how, man, we don't realize we're part of the same team. And we're made to be different. Like just strings can be absolutely beautiful, absolutely. And even just one instrument can be beautiful. But how much more beautiful is it when they're all playing their own section and they're all playing what's on the page and then it all comes together? It's so incredible. And that's how he designed the body of Christ. And sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, you need to emphasize this or you need to emphasize this. And it's like, as long as we are on track with the Bible, what we emphasize, there might be different things that different churches are supposed to emphasize to play their part in this huge orchestra. You can't contain or represent all of God by yourself, no matter how mature you are as a Christian. And you can't contain or represent God in just your church either, no matter how diverse your church is. We can't contain or represent God in just this school or in just this class. We are many parts joined together for one purpose, and we cannot accomplish our purpose in isolation any more than a little piano key could accomplish the purpose that it was designed for by itself. A healthy body is unified and diverse and values every part. There's no comparison, there's no competition, there's no hierarchy, there's no popularity, because every part is important. 1 Corinthians 12:18, I already read it, but I want to read it again. It says, "But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires." Just seeing how much of that is intentional. It's all him. He's carefully designed it. He's placed you, and he's designed you to function in just the right way. The one who made you is also the one who placed you right where you are, in your particular family, regardless of what you think about your family, regardless of how broken your family is. Guess what? He knew it. In your particular church, in this particular crazy year and time period, in your particular class, in this school, he knew what doors would be closed or open that would get you here in this seat today. He knew all about COVID-19 before it happened. He knew what was coming with your parents and when they split. He knew all of it, and he equipped you with exactly what you need to stand strong despite what storms come, despite what circumstances that you find yourself in. I want to read you a couple verses that kind of hit this up a little bit more. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Before he formed you in the womb, before he designed you, before he put all of the pieces together, he knew. He knew exactly what you needed to look like. He knew exactly what personality to put in you, what brain to put in you, what body to put you in. He knew it all. He built you and he crafted you and he formed you and he wired you perfectly for the purpose that he called you to. You belong to him. And we belong to each other. We need each other. I think this is so easy to lose sight of in this culture that we find ourselves in. In the United States, we value individualism. We value picking ourselves up by our bootstraps and doing it ourselves and being strong, and needing other people is seen as weak. And yet it's the very way that God designed us. We cannot find our purpose and our destiny without each other. So I want you to think about what you're bringing to the table today. What are you bringing to Troy Christian? What are you bringing to your church? What are you bringing to your family? Who are you ignoring or writing off? I want you to think about it for a minute. Picture your Bible class. Everybody's in Bible class, right? Who are you writing off? Who are you not listening to? Or you thought, well, you know, all they think about is this, or they're not good at this, and so we write them off. And that might be the very person that God has placed that you need to position yourself with in order to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. There is no pieces that aren't important. There are no write-offs. We need every piece and every part. Jesus prayed for us while he was here on earth. I love that. The whole prayer is awesome. You can go back and read it in John 17, but I want to read to you a part of it. It says, "I pray for them." This is John 17, 21, and it's Jesus praying, and he says, "I pray for them all," talking about you, he's praying for you, "to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me." So what is that? It's what is the purpose of us all coming together and being one? The purpose, I mean, in and of itself, it's him. It's all about him. It's all about him. He prayed it for us. And I was thinking about this is the Son of God. This is him right before he pours out his life, and he prays, he pours out this prayer, and he prays this to the Father, this gut prayer. I want them to be one. Why? So that the world will recognize that you sent me. Do you know that you are the hope of the world? You collectively, you figuring out that you're a part of this whole, you functioning together is what's going to show the world who Jesus is and let the world believe that he is who he says he is. What's crazy about that picture that God showed me is he wasn't finished yet when he showed me. He zoomed out one more time, and the whole entire orchestra then became a speck in the universe. And there was angels, and there was stars, and there was just all sorts of just things swirling around, and it was all part of this huge thing, and all part of this one purpose, this one design, this one goal being Jesus himself, and him being glorified. And so, we cannot know our identity. I know all of us would love to know a little bit more about who we are and how God designed us, and we can't know it apart from our designer. We can't know who we are apart from knowing whose we are. And so I just want to take a little bit of time to let God show you some of that. I tell you, a few years ago, I was going through a really hard season, a really painful season in my life, and I was praying, and pictures are not the only way that God speaks to me, but he does speak to me that way sometimes, and he showed me another picture in my prayer, and I was by a stream, and there was these rocks on the ground, and he told me to pick them up, and I picked one up, and it said, "Fear," and I'm looking at it, and he says, "Throw it in the stream, let it go," so I did that, and I picked another one up, and it said, "Hate." And I remember that one hitting me like in my gut. Like I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm holding that." And he was like, throw it in the river, let it go. And then I picked up another one, it said "daughter." And he was like, "That one I don't want you to throw away. I want you to put that right here, and I want you to dissolve it into your heart and let it become part of you. That's who you are." And then I picked up one and it said "strong." And that one I had to kind of partly throw away and partly put in. He was calling me, "I'm strong," because he told me I'm strong, not because I had to be. And then I picked up one and it said "mine." I was like, "Oh, that's a good one. I'm gonna take that." And I picked up another one and it said "mine." And then I picked up another and it said "mine." Mine, one after the other, "mine, mine, 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 mine." And my tears started flowing because I'm realizing that is who I am. That is my ultimate definition. I'm his. Many of us have lost focus of who we are because we forgot whose we are. So if you just take a moment and close your eyes, and I'm just believing that God is going to show you some things. He's the one that can define us. What things do you have to let go of? What things do you need to start believing? Thank you, Jesus.